Lord Jesus, we love you. This morning we just stand here before you, praising you, making much of your name. We thank you, Christ our King, for adopting us as your sons and daughters into your great family. This morning, Lord, as we cast our eyes into your presence, into your glory, Lord, may you transform us, Lord, from the inside out. May you do with us what you want to do with us, Lord. We don't bring anything here right now, Lord, that would hinder you, Lord, from doing that of which you've already pre-planned to do in us. We pray, Lord, for those who have gathered here today that are sick. Pray that you would just give your hand of miracle upon them, that your hand would move in their bodies and that you would heal the brokenness, Lord, of the bodies, Lord, of the sick. We live in a broken world with broken people, with broken bodies, Lord, and so we pray that your miraculous hand would be upon those who are sick, Lord. We pray for those who are hurting, Lord. May your hand of comfort just overwhelm those who are hurting here this morning, Lord. Turn their hurt into joy, into celebration, into rejoicing, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those who are struggling this morning, Lord, just invade their space. But we also thank you, Lord, for all of us who are in a period, in a season of rejoicing, Lord, and immense joy. We praise you, Lord, because you're present, because you're here. Thank you, Christ our King. And all of us together with one voice said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Welcome, everybody. We're glad that you're here. I'm glad to be back. I've been on vacation for a couple of weeks. I know Steve and Chuck did a great job. I'm so glad, you know, when we got communicators that can communicate. And so it just makes me think, Steve, that maybe I should take more like extended vacations. No, but super, super stoked. I was so, so pleased to hear them online and be connected at least with the online community that way. If you brought your Bible, I want you to go straight to Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. We're going to pick up on Matthew chapter 9, verse 3, chapter 19, verse 3. Now, I'm going to take a couple of weeks of a break. I'm going to break for at least 4 weeks and for a season from continuing in the Gospel of Mark. Now, we've been studying the life and mission of Jesus for the last, several months since January. And I know we're close to the end and studying the Gospel of Mark, but I really wanted to take this time to pause for just a moment and to look more deeply and intently in two particular areas, the area of marriage, but also the area of singleness. Well, that's really important, I think, because Jesus talks about them both. And I want to take those 2 weeks, or actually a couple of weeks, to explore those two things because they matter to God. And when I left off for vacation and escaped into the beautiful land of Taos, you know, I thought, what was the last thing that I preached on? And it was about divorce, actually. It was about marriage. And when Jesus presented with a question about should anybody divorce for any reason, he responds back with the original design of marriage. And then I left you hanging, and then we continue in the series. And so now I'm coming back, and I want to explore that. Like, what is the original design? How do you protect oneness with the person that you love? How do you do that? And then also, if you're single or single again, how do you live life in light of that? How do you live your experience in light of the fact that God has a purpose in your life, that singleness can be used for the glory and the pleasure of God? And so we're going to explore that as well. And so if you brought your Bible or you're going through your your YouVersion text, just go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. Because for Jesus, there's only two categories in life, I think. There's the category you're married, and there's the category of you're single. Those are the two categories. If you're a teenager, you're single, right? You may be single again, right? You went through a divorce, but you're single now. Or maybe you're a widow, and you're single once again. And so Those are the two categories, single or married. So we're going to explore both of them. Go to verse 3. It says, some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied. They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. Verse 5, and he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And this is the whole leave, cleave, and become one. Verse 6, since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. The original design of marriage is a lifetime commitment where the couple leaves, cleaves, and becomes one. Verse 7, why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away, they asked. Verse 8, Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts, but it was not what God had originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery unless his wife has been unfaithful. We talked about that several weeks ago. I'm not going to flesh it out again. If you're interested in, when can you, when should you, all that stuff, just go backtrack a couple of weeks and just plug into that sermon, 4 weeks ago. In verse 10, it says, Jesus' disciples then said to him, if this is the case, if God's original design is commitment to a lifetime, if this is the case, it is better not to marry. Now, mind you, the disciples are 12 guys, only one of which is married, Peter. The other guys are single, and they're teenagers. So they're like, man, this sounds like tough. I mean, if you're only with one person, man, maybe it's better just not to marry at all. Speaking like a teenager, verse 11, not everyone can accept this statement, Jesus said. What statement? The statement that maybe one should not marry. Only those whom God helps. And then verse 12, some are born as eunuchs, some have been made eunuchs by others, and some choose not to marry for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Or in some translations it says, then some choose to be eunuchs. In other words, some choose for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of heaven, to say, you know what, I'm not going to marry again. I'm going to remain single. Let anyone accept this who can. And like I said earlier, in the message, some of you are married, some of you are single, some of you are single again, some of you are single because you're a widow or you went through a divorce. And so we're going to unpack those two things. But today, I want to unpack marriage. But just in case you're thinking this morning, like, oh, brother, I'm not even married. I mean, I came in the wrong Sunday. I am the category of single. Why should I even listen to a sermon, a two-part sermon on marriage if I'm not even married? Well, guess what? The principles you're going to learn today are principles that relate to the way men and women relate to one another. So if you're here this morning, you're single again, and you have grandkids, you definitely need to hear what I'm going to talk about today. As a matter of fact, if you have grandkids that are boys and you're a woman, you're like, you're going to have to understand how boys think or how men think. And if it's the reverse, you're a grandpa and you have little girls. Oh, you better understand how little girls think, because you know what? Once they reach teenagehood, oh my goodness, you're going to have to understand them really, really well. So I think this applies to everybody, especially if you work in an environment where you have the opposite sex. You need to know certain things about the way men and women relate to each other differently. And that's okay. That's good. But the question this morning is this: how do you protect oneness? How do you protect the original design of God for us? There's a couple of things you got to understand. The first thing you got to understand is this. Men and women are wired different. Men and women, we're just wired different. Some of you are like, yeah, no, duh, of course we're wired different. No, we are. Let me give you two scenarios, two examples to just kind of highlight this. Husband sees his wife, she's struggling with her weight, man. It's been now a couple, maybe a decade, he had the baby or whatever. You know, she's like, she's struggling with her weight. Husband looks at her, he's like, oh, poor baby, she's struggling with her weight. He goes to Amazon, right, because that's where we look for books now. Amazon, and he finds this book he really likes for her to help her out. And the title is, How to Lose Weight and Attract Your Mate. How do you think she reacts? She's like, yeah, oh, yeah. And she picks up the book. She's like, oh, really? She quickly goes to the bedroom, slams the door, and he's like, what just happened? What happened here? Something happened, but I don't know what happened. Let me give you another scenario. A couple is struggling financially. You know, it's just times are tough. They're struggling financially. He walks in after a hard day of work. And the spouse is on the phone with her mom, with the mother-in-law, and just saying, you know, we're really struggling financially right now, and will you be able to help us financially? You know, we just need to, you know, pay the rent. She hangs up the phone, gives him the smile, right? And he reacts with, what did you just do? Why you invite our mother-in-law into our situation? And he gets really upset, and he gets up and starts puffing and like, I can't believe you did that. And she's like, we're trying to help. And like, what just happened? What just happened? Why the different reactions? Why did she react that way? Why did he react that way? And this is why. This is why. In the diet book, this is what she heard. I don't love you. You're not attractive. You're not the way you used to be. You don't look the same way. In the phone call, this is what he heard. I don't respect you. I don't honor you. Was that what they were actually saying? No. But that's what they heard. It's two well-intentioned individuals that are hearing something radically different.